There we go, that's Meghan Trainor. Her latest track is called Don't I Make It Look Easy. That's possibly related to the question that I had about kitchen mishaps. That's maybe a good question to ask somebody like Annelou Leroux.
I don't think it is.
How are you in the kitchen?
You know what? I'd be lying if I said I was fantastic.
now I'm curious to know where we're going. Yeah?
No, it's not good, Charles.
Okay.
You would be ashamed.
Right.
I'm okay.
Okay, so do you have like a favorite dish to make or like a trademark? Everybody knows Annelou for making...
I go for the easiest thing, which is like a cheese plate.
So
nothing crazy at all.
So sweating over a Woolies card.
And yeah, and you know, camembert and
brie
and stuff like that.
One of my favorite things. And if you ever want to step it up, you can do sesame coated or just panko crumbed camembert wedges with a chili plum jam.
Oh wow! Okay, see that's taking it to the next level. Yes. That's a step up. People are going to be like, you learned some stuff.
And if you don't feel like individually kind of sesame seed coating those, the easier way is just to wrap it in phyllo pastry, bake the whole thing, and then one-stop shopping.
And amazing.
Yeah, ta-da.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
To that side of the desk.
Yes, it does feel strange.
But you have sat on that side of the desk in your previous radio job.
I have, in various places. Hmm. Different... you know, situations and so on. So I've been kind of all over, let's say, around the table and behind the glass.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, not to jump the gun, where are you from?
I am from Craddock.
Oh.
Yes.
Did not know that.
You
okay.
Didn't?
No.
Yeah, I'm from Craddock, small town. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, we have a few friends who farm just outside Craddock.
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm there.
Ah.
My parents still live there, and I was there my whole life. Till after matric. So, yeah, Eastern Cape born and bred.
Schooling wise, that would mean what for you?
Craddock High School.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah. So, small town girl.
Yeah.
With big city ambition.
I guess so. I think when you grow up in a small town, you kind of have that ambitions. You know, you're like, I want to get out. I want to see the world. I think for a lot of people, for most people, maybe not. For me, that was the case. I was like, I want to see what's happening in the rest of the country, you know. And I think that's probably why I went to study in the Northwest, which is like so far from Craddock.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I just wanted to see what else was out there. And I went to Potch, studied, and went to Joburg after that. So it's a big move.
Yeah. And by yourself.
Yeah.
Yo, that's a little scary, I won't lie. But let's talk about the studying. What did you study?
I studied BA Communication Studies, and then I did my honours degree in journalism and multimedia. So journalism was kind of the thing that I was attracted to, I guess. And there's a lot of facets within it. So you don't just write for newspapers, right? So there's a whole different, you know, career path that you can take if you study journalism. And I loved languages. For me, languages has always been like my favorite thing. So I had English and I did literature. And so I loved writing like ever since I was in school. So I think that's why I kind of gravitated towards journalism and just kind of the media industry in a whole. Yeah.
Okay. Kind of writing and language is now kind of what
kind
you
of
do,
what
in,
I
your,
do.
In your day job.
I know, and it's not what I thought would happen. Like, when I study journalism, you don't think, I'm gonna be a copywriter. You know, I'm gonna write some ads.
Yeah.
That's not the first thing that comes up. So it's strange how life takes you in a bunch of different paths.
What kind of people are journalism students generally?
Sure. I think it depends on where you go.
Okay.
Like, you get people who are really, really hardcore into journalism. I think that never was my thing. I don't know why. You get a lot of, let's just say it's a mixture of very different people kind of meshed together in one space when you're studying journalism. Because you get people who are more into the video side of things or TV, other people more into radio, which was my case, and, you know, people who love writing kind of feature stories or stories about the nature. So you kind of see everyone has their own interests. And I guess that's why you have beats in journalism. People are interested more in, you know, kind of conservation or in, I don't know, domestic violence type of stories or women's rights or, you know, whatever the case might be. So it's kind of interesting to be in the same room with all these different types of people.
So what kind of journalism have you done, or did you never really do journalism?
When I went to SABC, that was my first job. I was a news producer at the SABC in their news and current affairs department.
As in Auckland Park?
Yes, as in Auckland Park. I was a radio journalist there. I mostly covered like everything. I think when you start out, like, they give you all the stories. All the stories that no one else wants.
As we say, a huge variety simply because there's a lot of like things other people don't want to do.
Someone's building a bunch of pools somewhere, cover the story, you know, like it was kind of all these off-cut type of stories, but there were stories that I really enjoyed doing as well. I think especially when it came to agriculture, because I grew up in a farm.
Yeah, you would have a unique insight, and hopefully you would be able to use some of that insight into writing about,
yes,
and give it a nice texture.
Yes,
potentially that somebody else who didn't have that
exactly
would, you know, it would be absent in theirs.
Yes, I think stuff like that kind of I was drawn to that. Good news stories, I think, was always my big thing. You know, you could say it's soft news, but I liked writing about things that made people positive, because I just feel like, you know, in the times that we live, I enjoyed kind of the feedback that we got from those types of stories as well, where, you know, someone would send a message or say, you know, thank you for this. Like, it's such a kind of breath of fresh air to kind of have an hour-long news show about all the crazy things that's happening in the world. And then here and there's like just like a little bit of a spark of joy. Mm. And I loved that.
We had, I think it was one day of good news on our FM
brilliant.
One day. That was spearheaded by Doreen from our newsroom, who said, can we, do we think that for one day we could only report on good news? And we did, and it was almost freaky.
Yes.
Because you're so accustomed to, not that.
Yes.
You know, or, can you believe, you know, that happened?
Exactly.
Or it's just like shock after, and unfortunately, bad news sells.
It does.
So more than good.
There's a thing that says in journalism, they say, if it bleeds, it leads,
yes,
right?
I'm familiar with this.
So, yeah, I mean, I think for me, I loved doing it. I learned so much working as a radio journalist. And, you know, when I was working as an intern as well, I, you know, got to go to the courts and, you know, covered stories with the journalists that I went with. And, it's hard work. I have a lot of respect for people who kind of put their whole lives and their souls and everything they have into stories. Mm. The things I've seen some of the people that I've worked with do, the stories that they've written and series that they've made, it's brilliant. So I take my hats off to people.
Then of course my mind jumps to journalists in kind of war-torn areas and stuff like that. The fact that you, as an unarmed civilian,
yes,
you would put yourself in mortal danger to tell the truth.
And you go out.
Tell the story.
And I mean, in radio, if you have to, you take the recording equipment with you.
Yeah.
That's all you have. And
thank goodness for those flash mics now.
Oh, yes. My goodness. I was always afraid to go near that equipment because they were like, this costs so much. And don't touch it. Don't break it. So I was like, okay, I'll have someone else deal with that for me.
From the SABC, where to?
I went to MoneyWeb after that. I kind of still worked in
Houghton
Estates.
African Media Entertainment Group.
Yes, yes, in our group.
Yeah.
And I worked as a producer for a business and finance show, which went out on Adeskia.
Right.
Oh, it's still going out on Adeskia.
Yes.
And it's basically business and finance news, you know, the economy, budget, stuff like that. So I was producing a show for that.
Yeah, and I suppose the challenge there is to breathe some kind of life into it, because otherwise it's very stale,
yes,
fact-based
It is.
Reporting.
It definitely is. And the presenter and editor of MoneyWeb, Ray Kvanikak, that I worked with, brilliant. And I learned so much from him. And I think kind of taking guidance from someone who has so much, you know, knowledge in certain places in the industry or in the finance and business and our, you know, our country's economy. I think for me, what I loved most about that is we got to share so many stories about entrepreneurs. And that's one thing that I just loved doing is speaking to entrepreneurs and them telling us their stories of how they built their businesses from like the bottom up.
Yeah, the story of nine failures, one success.
Exactly.
And the tenacity required to say this was a mess.
And thinking out of the box.
But doing something else again.
Right? Someone who just kind of stands up. Or picks themselves up and just say, I'm going to do something else. Or, because I started at MoneyWeb just before the pandemic, and then 3 months in, the pandemic hit.
That made financial reporting really interesting and very doom and gloomish.
Right? So obviously there was no shortage of news and how, you know, the economy was coping with all of it. But during that time, what was so interesting to me is kind of what I mentioned before is the, you know, kind of sparks of kind of light that comes through certain things is talking to people who lost everything because of the pandemic and just made a plan and kind of grew into this amazing business and getting the support and still growing. And so for me, that was the stuff that kind of also got me through my job because it was difficult, you know, I think for everyone working through the pandemic and hearing other people's stories that kind of kept me motivated throughout the whole thing. So I enjoyed telling people stories in that way and being able to kind of give people a platform to say, hey, you know, it's not the end of the world if everything falls down. I mean, a lot of the times it's really difficult, but you can pick yourself up and go forward. And I think that was nice for me to be able to hear that and also have that being shared with so many people.
Was Jacaranda FM the next stop?
It was.
Okay.
It was, yes. Also,
and you were the producer of The Scenic Drive with Threon.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was. That was a whole different
experience.
It's completely different than you know, the business and finance world, which I got so used to, you know, setting up interviews with big CEOs and you know, kind of commentators on or analysts, you know, people who knew a lot about this. Then it kind of catapulted me into the entertainment industry and kind of, you know, radio programming that I wasn't that I never really experienced before.
Yeah, I love some of the behind stories that I still get from people you would have worked with at Jacaranda about some of the other people in the industry and some of their quirks and stuff like that.
It's a very interesting industry to be in.
Yeah, and boy, doesn't ego play a huge role a lot of the time.
It does. And it's an interesting thing because, I mean, I think everywhere in life, in some type of way, you are going to find a whole bunch of different people, right? And people who have, you know, different quirks and egos and so on. And I think what's great about being in radio is you learn how to work with different types of people. And you learn so much about yourself in that process because you're like, oh, wow, I've never really experienced this type of person before. Hmm. How do I, you know, approach this person, or how do I work with them, or how do I kind of figure out how I can move in this space with certain types of people and a whole different bunch of people? Because I mean, in radio you get, it's not just one type of person, right? I mean, you know.
No, it would be so much easier if it was.
So it's interesting, it keeps you on your toes, and that's fun.
Yeah. What sparked the decision to move back to Algoa country?
Oh man, I loved Joburg and I loved being there. I think with my parents still in Craddock, I was never able to see them a lot. I have siblings overseas, so I'm kind of, you know, the only one left.
Right.
And I don't know, I felt like it was time for me to just be back home. And I think it's strange how life can throw you in a different direction, even though you didn't make that decision at that time. You're like, yeah, I'll do it later, you know, like one day I will, you know, go back home, or I'll move to this place, or I'll do that. But then life's just like, no, you're going in this direction now. And it's interesting how you kind of end up where you feel like, okay, this is good. Like, I didn't plan this,
yeah,
but it's really good for me that I've, you know, ended up being back home.
Yeah.
And no, I really love Joburg. I think I'm so grateful for all the experiences that I had there, and all the, you know, life experience, work experience, all the lessons that I've learned. It wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't moved there, you know, on my own from Craddock. Mm. I remember I was driving from Potch, where I studied. I had a Nissan Bucky with a canopy on it, and I had to, like, put all my belongings in there, and I moved straight from Potch to Joburg, and, like, 10 days later started working, and it was so scary because I didn't know Joburg at all.
Yeah, that's intimidating.
It's through
just the scale of it and the traffic for
I know. I mean, yeah. In Craddock, we don't have one, like, you know, stop lights
I get
or
it,
robots.
I get it.
So, no, it was interesting. I learned a lot, but it's good to be here.
And now, of course, Algo FM's copywriter.
Yes.
So for people, I mean, who listen to radio, radio in generally makes their money through advertising, particularly
right.
commercial radio, mm. of which we are one of the six original regional stations that used to belong to the SABC, then were obviously privatized, and now we are a multimedia company, but again, a commercial broadcaster. So the ads that go on air have to be conceptualized by someone, written
yeah.
by someone, voiced by someone, produced by someone, etc., mm. etc.
Yeah, there's a big process that goes into that.
Yeah.
And also something completely new for me, and it's a big challenge. It's interesting to you know, meet with different businesses and clients and kind of figure out what their visions are for their brands. And it's an interesting process from conceptualizing to actually getting the script down and approved. And, you know, you have to constantly think of what music would go with this, you know, what voice mm-hmm. would sound right in this concept. Yeah, just hats off to our production guys because they are...
They're sharp.
They're amazing.
They're really, really, really are sharp.
I just want to be like a fly on the wall sometimes and just sit there and see what they do.
Well, I sit opposite one of the production studios as you're in. I watch this sometimes.
Yeah, you see the magic happen and unfold
sometimes
before
you
your eyes.
Sometimes you see the steam coming out of their ears, which is relevant.
Afraid that the studio might like catch fire at any moment.
Precisely. Well, that is a little bit more about Annalou Leroux, our in-house copywriter now, and the lady who was on air 7 to 10 last night and will be again this coming Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Nice to
so
get
fun.
To know a little bit more about you. Yeah.
Wherever you go, take us along for the ride.
Algoa FM.